the police doing anything real radical at this point, because right now there's nobody in danger as we watch this.
Do you believe that people are being kept off of the freeway? I'm still somewhat astonished by the light traffic there on this Friday night.
You know what? I missed that. You were blocked by another radio. Could you say again?
Ron, I was saying, do you think perhaps that motorists are being kept off that freeway because I'm astonished at the light level of traffic on this Friday night? It's very unusual.
It is unusually light traffic out here. We're looking all the way westbound, and we can see almost up to the 605, and it continues light like this all the way up towards that 605 freeway.
We were talking about what options they have. We have to keep in mind, Ron, that...
law enforcement. It's very difficult for us to tell. I don't know how much tighter that we have here, but he says that's as tight as we can go right now. So from our vantage point, we cannot tell exactly how many are in the vehicle at all.
Again, all this is presumption now. It's apparent that the police believe it.
Well,
and that
not
is
great.
Cowling's car, and that Simpson is in the driver's seat. We've received a report of a gun in the car. The car is heading north, which would be toward Los Angeles. We picked it up in Orange County. The vehicle is registered to Al Cowling, a former teammate, close friend of O.J. Simpson's, who has been a fugitive from justice now almost 12 hours. The car is not exceeding the speed limit, and the police are not forcing it and are not pulling it over. You see them all trailing it. That's the California Highway Patrol are trailing it, but not pulling it over.
Show the people on the bridges, Jeff.
Obviously, everyone else is pulled off the lane. As you look far ahead, no cars are there. Now it's going to go under another freeway, and you see police cars atop that freeway. Now, the police do have speakers in those.
30 years ago, June 17th, 1994, I remember being at home. I was watching some kind of comedy program, probably. And my grandfather and my brother are screaming at the TV. Why? Because the juice was on the loose. O.J. Simpson was on the loose, and months prior, my family and I had seen him in, I think, the final movie that he did with Leslie Nielsen and... Priscilla Presley and the Naked Gun movies. And then all of a sudden here we were, tragedy. His ex-wife was murdered along with her friend Ron Goldman, and boom, he's prime suspect number one. And so here we are 30 years later, and as I was telling my friend since high school today, I said, we both said, this is not an accident. This is not a coincidence that he dies on the 2 months to the day of the, what all occurred. And, you had to be there. It was 1994. In fact, my friend said she wanted that Ford Bronco. She wanted the white Ford Bronco. And, a lot of people did. And, it became the trial of the century and what happened. And, it just had to be there. I mean, if you weren't there for the 90s, if you didn't get to experience it, I don't know what else to tell you. So even today, I took it upon myself to do this.
The juice is loose, baby. So if the casket doesn't fit, you must wood chipper that shit.
So I was quoting Johnny Cochran, because remember what Johnny Cochran so famously said? If it doesn't fit, you must acquit. I remember being in high school, and I was a freshman, and it was the day of, they were going to give their decision. We, the jury, and they mispronounced his name, and they had to say it again, find him not guilty. And the reaction, I remember being in class, it was the weirdest kind of reaction. There's, even still to this day, 30 years later, it's like, okay, how do we go about talking about this? Because it was a very hotbed time. It was a time of really great uncertainty, and the Dream Team. Everyone from the Dream Team is basically gone now. including OJ. And then you had the prosecutors and Marcia Clark. I almost said Marcia Cross. That's Desperate Housewives. Sorry. My mind is somewhere else. And Christopher Darden. And I'm trying to think who else was part of it. And it was the trial of the century. I mean, it was the trial of the century. I remember they did Fox. You know how Fox is doing their fucking TV movies. Fox did a TV movie about it. And we're talking about this. Why? Because OJ died. He died at 76 years old. And damn, the juice. Hey, back in his time, I'll tell you. OJ was a... Hey. I mean, back in his day, you know, he bagged them all. I know that's wrong of me to say, but he did. He did. Raised in San Francisco. I didn't know this. His father was a well-known drag queen. Did not know that. Interesting. All right. He became a football player, you know, played for Buffalo Bills. Okay. Mm-hmm. It was, before the Bills traded Simpson to his hometown 49ers. Okay. Yes, yes, yes. You know, he's a prolific football player. I've also seen photos of him in the buff, shall we say. And it's like, whoa, I could see what the ladies like you, man. He was on an episode of Dragnet. I didn't know he was in Roots. He was in The Towering Inferno, Cassandra Crossing, The Capricorn One. And then Simpson made cameo in comedic Back to the Beach. He played Detective Nordberg in all three series of the Naked Gun film trilogy from 1988, 91, and 94, alongside Leslie Nielsen, Priscilla Presley, and George Kennedy. According to Arnold Schwarzenegger, Simpson was considered by director James Cameron to play the eponymous character in The Terminator when Schwarzenegger was cast as Kyle Reese, but Cameron ultimately cast Schwarzenegger as a Terminator while Simpson had no involvement in the film. Besides his acting career, Simpson worked as a commentator for the Monday Night Football and NFL on NBC. He appeared on Saturday Night Live. Of course, this is before everything happened in 1994. Oh, geez, here we go. June 12th, 1994. Nicole Simpson is found stabbed to death with her friend Ron Goldman. And then we lead to the June 17th Bronco chase, the 1993 Ford Bronco. 93, I thought it was in 94. And, And then we enter the Dream Team, Johnny Cochran, Robert Kardashian, Robert Shapiro. Oh, Robert Shapiro, isn't he still alive? Yeah, he is. So he's the only one left. F. Lee Bailey, he's gone. Marcia Clark. It says it was likened to the Lindbergh kidnapping. It was the most famous trial of the century. We all know what happened and, you know, and everything. And then he ultimately got in trouble in 2007 and went to jail, and people were happy, but for all the wrong reasons. And, it's hard to say, you know, at the end of the day, what would happen. I mean, yes, there was the O.J. Simpson TV movie on Fox. Yeah, Al Cowlings is still alive. All right, all right, all right. What can I say? I mean, this was the 90s. This is the 90s, and you had to be there. I mean, here's Bob Costas talking about it.
NBA final, as that Bronco chase was playing out, which just set up this extraordinary split-screen moment for millions of viewers. What do you remember about that time?
Well, every network, including CNN and all the mainstream networks that preceded cable, CBS, ABC, they're all carrying it with aerial views from the helicopters and trying to cover it as best they can. But Dick Ebersol, who ran NBC Sports, had a dilemma because it wasn't just a basketball game, it was the NBA Finals. And as I recall, the series was tied 2 games apiece, and it was a close game at Madison Square Garden. And so at various times, I threw it between Marv Albert, who's calling the game. They would come to me upstairs at the Garden. I'd throw it to Tom Brokaw. He would do a summation. At other times, we'd have the split screen, as you mentioned, half the screen the game and half the screen the Bronco chase. And another factor here is that many of us involved for NBC Sports had known and been very friendly with O.J. He and I worked on the football show for NBC for 4 or 5 years, beginning in the early 90s and up until that point. And then, subsequently, not that night, but not long after, I learned that O.J., for whatever reason, was trying to call me from the Bronco. I didn't have a cell phone at that time. Those who know me know that I'm behind the technological curve. I had a flip phone until about 3 or 4 years ago. And this was the early days of cell phones. But he had a car phone. So he calls my house in St. Louis. And I wasn't there. I was in New York. Nobody answered the phone. And eventually he called the studio where we did the NFL show from, which was also where we did the NBA show from, but on this occasion, since it was the finals, we were at Madison Square Garden. And the phone rang and rang, apparently tried it a few times, and an engineer eventually answered the phone, and he said, I need to speak to Bob Costas, he's not here. Well, I gotta speak to him right away, he's not here. Who's calling? O.J. Simpson, yeah, right, click. He hung up. Now, I don't know any of this on that Friday night. The series proceeds to Houston, and on Monday, before they're going to play Game 7 a couple of days later, I'm in the hotel, and a woman from Time Magazine calls me and says, we hear that O.J. tried to call you from the Bronco. And I say, truthfully at the time, no, that didn't happen. The conversation lasts less than a minute. Now fast forward from June to November of 74, and at his request, I go to visit O.J. in the L.A. County Jail. This is prior to the trial, which didn't start until January. And in the course of some awkward kind of small talk conversation, and Al Cowlings, who was driving the Bronco that night, was there with me, along with Robert Kardashian. It was the three of us talking with O.J. And Al Cowlings just kind of casually brings up, you know, we tried to call you from the back of the Bronco. And now I remember the call from the woman at Time Magazine, and we begin talking about this, and I said, O.J., why would you be trying to reach me in that moment? And he said, I was being defamed, not so much about the alleged murders, but my whole life was being defamed. And I thought that maybe you could give a different viewpoint as my friend. And I didn't bother to explain to him what the journalistic imperatives would have been at that time and what I would have had to have asked him if somehow we were patched through, if he was willing to go on the air rather than just talk to me privately. But obviously that's all a moot point because it never happened.
Well, Bob, I mean.
So, yeah, that's Bob Costas recalling, you know, that epic chase. And of course, here's O.J. in movies.
To Nordberg. Who were they?
Ship. Boat.
That's right, Nordberg. A boat. Now, when you're better, we'll go sailing together. On a boat. We'll take a cruise just like last year.
Drugs.
Hey, nurse. Quick, give this man some drugs. Quick, can't you see he's in pain?
No.
Give him a shot, quickly.
No. Heroin. Heroin, Frank.
Nordberg, that's a pretty tall order. You're going to have to give me a couple of days on that one.
Nordberg. Oh, he was such a good man, Frank. He never wanted to hurt anyone. Who would do such a thing?
Oh, it's hard to tell. Be a roving gang of thugs, a blackmailer, an angry husband, a gay lover. Frank, get a hold of yourself. Good cop. Needlessly cut down and ambushed by some cowardly hoodlums.
There's no way for a man to die.
Yeah, you're right, Ed. A parachute not opening, that's a way to die. Getting caught in the gears of a combine. Having your nuts bit off by a Laplander, that's the way I want to go.
Oh, Frank. Oh, this is terrible.
Don't you worry, Wilma. Your husband is going to be all right. Don't you worry about anything. Just think positive. Never let a doubt enter your mind.
He's right, Wilma. But I wouldn't wait until the last minute to fill out those organ donor cards.
trying to say is that, Wilma, as soon as Nordberg is better, he's welcome back at police squad.
Unless he's a drooling vegetable. But I think that's only common sense.
Shit. Oh, what more can I say about the trial of the century? Yes. Oh, the 90s. But I will say, as I said earlier, I did get to see him in the buff. I think there's pictures floating around on Google or something like that. I know, only I would say I got to see him in the buff. Not bad. I mean, I've seen Schwarzenegger's too, but, you know, let's go to the source here from the 90s.
Simpson, would you please stand and face the jury? Mrs. Robertson.
Superior Court of California, County of Los Angeles. In the matter of the people of the state of California versus Orenthal James Simpson, case number BA097211. We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant, Orenthal James Simpson, not guilty of the crime of murder in violation of Penal Code Section 187A, a felony upon Nicole Brown Simpson, a human being, as charged in count one of the information. Superior Court of the State of California, County of Los Angeles, in the matter of the people of the State of California versus Orenthal James Simpson. We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant, Orenthal James Simpson, not guilty of the crime of murder in violation of Penal Code Section 187A, a felony upon Ronald Lyle Goldman, a human being, as charged in count two of the information. We, the jury, in the above entitled action, further find the special circumstance that the defendant, Orenthal James Simpson, has in this case been convicted of...
Oh, God, the 90s. What can I say about them? OJ is dead. I don't know where that Bronco is today. You know, who knows where it is. If you want the Bronco, I'll say this to my friend. Let's go look for it, okay? Maybe... drive around in it. I knew people growing up who had that Ford Bronco. I mean, and then later on it was known as the OJ car. You know, the juice is loose. In fact, didn't Beetlejuice recently say that in a trailer? It's like it's so prophetic. The juice is loose. And so, good night. The 90s, 30 years ago. I need a nap.